This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
At the end of the show, Ramya and I do a little roundup, a couple of the segments we mentioned that we felt were just like, I want to say stand out, but just more making us think still or sticking with us at that moment when we have the discussion. Today's going to be a darn hard one. So much great content, so many good conversations. I'm getting myself too wound up, too excited. Folks, if you want to go back and listen to the show in any form or at any time, or maybe you can't be with us for the live show, check out the Complete Kelly & Company podcast experience. We throw a few extra things in there, including an audio vanity card. And you can also, along our podcast feed, listen to the show in segment form. Maybe you don't have a lot of time. Maybe there's that favorite segment or two or three a week that you enjoy. Check it out that way, because we parcel those up and set them aside too on the podcast feed. That's the Kelly & Company podcast, available to you. Just simply subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. Kelly McDonald, host of the program with Ramya Muthu.
Well, Canadians are increasingly becoming aware of the impact of climate change, including more frequent and severe storms in parts of the country. So what's the government doing about this? We're going to learn more about what they've implemented, a new regional hub for climate services in the Maritimes. And to tell us more is Sabine Dietz, Executive Director of Climate Atlantic. Sabine, thank you for coming on Kelly & Company.
Thank you for having me.
Really looking forward to chatting more about this initiative. Can you give us some background? The initiative that's being implemented is called Climb Atlantic, as I said. So can you explain what it is for us?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just want to acknowledge that I'm joining you from unceded and unsurrendered Mi'kmaq territory in Sackville in New Brunswick. So what it is a new organization. So we're really brand new. We just really formed in June. And we will help stakeholders and rights holders in Atlantic Canada, in the four provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland and Labrador, to understand, access, and use climate data and information to support decision-making in dealing with the impacts from climate change.
I mean, that's amazing. I'm kind of curious, when it comes to the information that people will be able to have access to guide them through it, to be able to make, I guess, choices and things like that. Well, how first of all, before we get into kind of more of the examples of what kinds of things that they would be able to or most likely be wanting to use that kind of information for, as we break it down, how does it work where the information is gathered and accessible to them?
Yeah, so if you would go and Google or search for any sort of climate change information for Canada or for Atlantic Canada or for any of the provinces, there would be a lot of information that would pop out, let's say on an internet search.
Right.
And as we all know, you know, stories have been especially this year out west with the wildfires, but also with and the heat waves, and also with just flooding events. So there's a lot of information out there, and it's very varied, right? So, but one of the pieces is that there has been a lot of research done. There is just a recent international report on the impacts on climate change and climate change, what is happening. And there's a lot of tools out there. So let's say you're looking for sea level rise information for New Brunswick. Climate Atlantic would help you. Let's say you're in a municipality in New Brunswick, would help you find, well, where can I find information on sea level rise? And we would then help you find this information. It can be either just information on, so my location would see in the next 30 years, 10 centimeters of just a base rise in sea level.
Right.
That may be the information. It may be in form of maps. It may be in form of animations. There's different forms of information and data that are out there, and we'll help stakeholders and rights holders sort through that, what they need and what they can use to make better decisions.
Because seeing,
and
like
to actually choose. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, and to choose between options, right?
Well, because when you said if you did a Google search and you're looking, there's so much out there, and choosing mm-hmm. and finding can be so time consuming, and you want as accurate the resource. So this is that way of filtering all that out, isn't it?
Yeah, and so, you know, our goal is that if you're in Atlantic Canada or coming to Atlantic Canada, you would first access our future website. We don't have one yet. So if you look for us right now, you'll only find us mentioned in a press release, okay. But that is coming within a month or so. So you would then just check the website or call us. We'll be accessible via telephone. We'll be accessible via social media and, you know, check in with us. So hopefully through that process of there's an organization that will curate, do a little bit of a triage of everything that's out there and be able to tell you this is actually the accurate information you should use, or this is probably, 10 years old, so you may no longer want to use this kind of information. So we're hoping that we can play a little bit of that kind of role.
That's really, really accurate. Any partnerships, Sabine, that you want to tell us about?
Yes, so this is the Climate Atlantic was formed in collaboration with the Atlantic provinces, and you know, we're still really in the startup phase, but we will continue to establish partnerships as we grow over the next months and years.
Excellent. Is there a particular reason why this is so specifically needed on the East Coast?
Yeah, so we're. You know, Canada has very diverse regions, and both or all of our coasts have particular challenges. On the East Coast, we're surrounded by coasts everywhere. So, you know, and we've got a lot of low-lying areas. And over the last years, people who have paid attention a little bit to what happens in Atlantic Canada would have noticed that, you know, we've had wharves damaged. We've had low-lying communities affected by storm surges. So you know, when you have high tides, a lot of wind, a lot of water coming on shore, and people, you know, homes being damaged, infrastructure being damaged. So we're particularly affected, of course, by sea level rise and associated storm surges that are fairly unpredictable. And then, of course, also something that's happened across Canada in terms of heavy flood events, heavy rainfall events. But it's particularly the storm surges and the sea level rise that we're particularly concerned with. And then when you move Newfoundland and Labrador, Labrador would be more of a northern area, but which is part of our area mm-hmm. where storm and ice, unpredictable ice and snow in the winter is really a factor. So it's a very kind of thing, but I would say because we're coastal, we have a number of challenges that are definitely not there for, let's say, Ontario or in the Prairie provinces.
But with that being said, Sabine, we'd love to kind of hear about the ripple effect, right? Even if it's just really early in the works or, it's just like through the grapevine conversations to know if there's going to be something like this implemented across the country. Because, of course, specifically, you've mentioned some things that go on in the Maritimes and in the East, but there are a lot of different ways to kind of implement this type of resource around the country and in different provinces specific to the kind of information that you want, climate and otherwise. So do you know of mm-hmm. anything else that's going on across the country similarly?
Yeah, so the nice thing about this initiative is, and this is funded in partnership as well with the federal government, so with Environment and Climate Change Canada. And so there is the national hub, I would say a national hub that's called the Canadian Centre for Climate Services. And that is sort of the coordinator of all of us regional hubs. And there are more than just Atlantic Canada. So in out west in British Columbia, there's the Pacific Climate Impact Consortium, which has the British Columbia area. In the Prairies, there's Climate West, which is relatively new as well, with the three Prairie provinces, Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. Ontario is not yet established. Quebec has Uranas, which is a long-established organization that is also taking on that role of a regional hub. And so there's plans to expand that network to be able to provide really those regional-specific kind of information that you don't get when you go to a national Canadian Climate Center for Climate Services, where everything's there for the country, but where you actually get more localized information. So Climate West, you know, agriculture and a drought is a really important piece, whereas that is not yet popping up in Atlantic Canada so much, only in isolated locations.
We would look at this in the aspect of if a community, a business was concerned about erosion or maybe needing to put up a seawall, something like that on such a local level, this could be quite useful. And I'm gathering that's where we'll see a lot of the uses for if there's construction going to be done, someone looking at a piece of property that they may want to buy for a business. Is that where you see the most use and the most reach out that you'll get from people?
Yes and no. So there is a lot of climate adaptation work already ongoing in Atlantic Canada specifically. There's a lot of both academics, nonprofit organizations, the provincial governments, municipalities, association. There's a lot of work already ongoing in terms of helping people to make those decisions, helping municipalities and so on. So While Climate Atlantic's role will be to help as needed, but we also want to make sure that any of the partners or collaborators that are currently already doing work, that we support them in the work that they do. So it's bumping up what's already going on, facilitating and mentoring collaboration and partnerships, so things can just pick up because we all know that this is a very urgent topic, and we all know that it's not going to go away. And the need for understanding the impacts and looking at the future and seeing, well, how do I have to build my, road along the coastline or my road that's just there? How do I have to upgrade it to meet the needs of, let's say, 50 years or 100 years? Because much of the big infrastructure is sort of 80, 100 years, and we're looking at that. And so it's hopefully, as we support the organizations that are doing work, the governments, the agencies, the NGOs, the various associations out there, we can speed up the adaptation to climate change impacts.
Sabine, thank you so much for coming on Kelly and Company and breaking down this initiative for us, giving us all the information. We'll talk to you hopefully soon and hear more to come.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
We were speaking with Sabine Dietz, and she's the executive director of Climb Atlantic.
In the next hour, what are some common myths around climate change? We chat with Carrie Munven, a senior policy analyst for climate justice work at Citizens for Public Justice. On our Voices segment, we meet Matthew Bomer from Southern Ontario and talk about climate activism, among other things, in his region. But up next, how is climate change affecting health and cost of health in Canada? We dive into this issue with Ryan Ness, Adaptation Research Director at Canadian Institute for Climate Choice, in one moment.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.